Are you struggling to find your purpose in life? Do you feel like something is missing and you need some guidance? Do you often feel unfulfilled with what you're doing on a day-to-day basis? Well, I'm here to tell you, you don't have to feel that way anymore. I'm here to help you through your journey in life to gain clarity, find purpose, and passion. My name is Jose Miguel Longo. I'm a gay Hispanic, a husband, dog daddy, advocate for social justice, and DEI. Ally for all LGBTQ+, a career and life coach and millennial born in 1983. I have spent my time since the age of 14 working my way around the world of work. I know my God-given talents are to help those around me to gain clarity in their lives while finding their passion and purpose. For the last decade, I've spent my time coaching college students and alums from all three generations, X, Y, and Z, in designing their career stories and mapping what they want to do in their lives. Whether it's gaining clarity in who you are and what you're meant to do, learning to build a resume or write a cover letter, holding you accountable and building your career journey, or designing your life, the podcast Coaching for Millennials is a how-to guide for all things career, life, and a sprinkle of everything in between. It is an all-inclusive space for meaningful conversations on topics happening in our world right now. It is a space for people to go on a holistic journey in uncovering their passion and purpose. I'm here for all generations, no matter what you identify as. If you're seeking to transition from a career industry or job to another, or ready to transform your life completely, I got you, boo. Whatever the fantasy you're trying to create, let me make it happen. If you're ready to start the journey to explore your passion and purpose, get focused on gaining clarity to transform you to a place that will fuel you, inspire you, and sprinkle some joy and laughter in between, it's time to dive into Coaching for Millennials. Welcome back to the podcast, Coaching for Millennials. I'm here today with a really special guest, which is actually our first guest of season four, but also a second time guest on the podcast. I'm really excited to welcome Stephen Iacovelli, your queer, the gay leadership dude, author of Your Queer Career, to the podcast. Steve, thank you for joining us today. Thank you so much for the time. And I'm so excited to jump in. A lot of stuff since the last time you were here. So yes. The floors are yours.
Well, thank you. Thank you. And I'm super happy to be here again to kind of give some words of wisdom, hopefully, or just make people laugh. So either or both, you know, so we'll see where this goes. But as was shared, hi, I'm Dr. Steve Iacovelli, pronouns he, him, and his. I am the owner and principal of Top Dog Learning Group, which is share with what Top Dog is in a minute. But I'm also known as the Gay Leadership Dude. So you immediately know three things about me, that I am gay, that I self-identify as a dude. And I really like to talk about leadership. And I think that's going to be a big part of our conversation here today. And I like to think of talking about Top Dog, my business. I like to think that the little doghouse, if you're watching or listening, our doghouse sits in the center of three different but insanely complementary areas. We look at leadership and organizational development. We focus on diversity, inclusion, and creating that sense of belonging in the workplace. And we look at change management and being resilient in times of change. We do one, if we're doing it right, we do all three of those with a bunch of different solutions for client partners, webinars, in-person training, virtual training, group coaching sessions, custom solutions. And we primarily work with large Fortune 500s, large not-for-profits, both here in the US, Canada, as well as beyond. And so I've been doing it as my full-time gig for 16 years. So it's been a while. Prior to that, I worked internal to places like Disney. I was an IBMer for a while. I was a professor for like a hot minute. That was not my jam after I got my doctorate. But it's been a really cool experience. And as you said, I'm also an author a few times over and a public speaker as well.
Yeah. Well, congratulations on 16 years of celebrating Top Dog. That's amazing. I always love to see companies that start, you know, scrappy and really can figure it out and making it happen. And the fact that you've got all these big clients you've worked with and had the opportunity to do so many things the last 16 years. Obviously, this podcast really talks about the career span and what you can do and how you evolve and how you grow. And I think great conversation for what we're talking about today when we talk about your queer journey, your queer career. Give us a little insight as to, from your last book to this book, what has happened? Because when you were on the podcast last time, we talked about your last book.
Yeah. So it's kind of funny. And I'll start it with a quick story. And it was, you know, picture it, Sicily. No, I'm sorry. It's a Golden Girls reference if you know. Anyway, if you don't know, that's fine. But as in 2018, I was actually in Philadelphia at a conference, actually at the National Gay and Lesbian Chamber of Commerce conference. And I'm sitting outside of one of the sessions like you do at conferences, and I'm sorting my business cards, and kind of next to me is this woman. She's doing kind of the same thing. And her name is the amazing Jen T. Grace. Jen asked, like, well, what do you do? And I'm like, oh, consultant, top dog, blah, blah, blah. How about you? She's like, well, I'm a publisher. I'm like, what? She's like, yeah, I own a publishing house, a publisher, Purpose Press. And I said, you know, there's a leadership book in my head. I've been doing this for almost 30 years. And she's like, well, let's get that book out. And I love to tell that story. And Jen and I actually just told that story when we launched this latest book, because it was just so profound. And if you're listening or watching, you're going to meet people along your career journey that can completely change the direction. And Jen was one of those people where, you know, I thought about being an author. I mean, I published a couple books here and there before. I published my dissertation just to have like the ISBN credit and see it on Amazon. Woo-hoo! But yeah, I got like 3 cent royalty or that. And I tried to self-publish, and I know some people have great success with it. I did not. And so I'm just like, I guess the publishing thing, the author thing is kind of not going to happen. And I just kind of left it at that. And then I met Jen, and it kind of changed things. Because as you shared, I've worked with a lot of leaders over the years. And you start to see what makes a difference in the ones who are successful. And you see what makes a difference with the ones who just are horrible. And so that's kind of what started the first book, Pride Leadership. Well, it wasn't Pride Leadership at the point. I just looked and said, hey, you know, these are the top 6 competencies that I've seen make or break anybody. So if you're trying to be a better leader in general, really start focusing on having authenticity, having leadership courage, leveraging empathy, having effective communication, building relationships, and then shaping your workplace culture. And so those were the 6 that I figured would be kind of the best ones to focus on. So my generic leadership book, as I was going to start writing, kind of there was that. And I started putting things together, but I started looking around here. I live in Orlando, in Central Florida. And I started looking at my queer brothers and sisters and siblings who are leading various groups in Central Florida as well as beyond. And so if you're watching, this is actually the symbol of Orlando, and they rainbow washed it actually in a good way after the Pulse massacre. So this is actually a pin that my city commissioner would give out to certain people, and I was lucky enough to get one. She's an openly lesbian, and she's just really cool, awesome, awesome person. But I started looking at queer folks, and then I said, you remember Sex in the City, the original one?
Yeah, of course. How can you not know?
I hope so.
If you're gay, you have to know Sex in the
Absolutely.
City.
Absolutely.
You need to be schooled by someone really quickly.
And if not, I mean, I think it just dropped on Netflix or something like that. And I get no kickback.
Netflix, yes.
So you can binge it if you want. It actually still holds up fairly well. But in that episode, in those episodes, if you're not familiar, the main protagonist, Carrie Bradshaw, she was a columnist, and she would sit down on her little MacBook and she'd always say, you know, I couldn't help but wonder. And then that was kind of the theme of the episode. And so I kind of played Carrie Bradshaw at this moment. And I said, I couldn't help but wonder, is there something about these 6 leadership competencies that are just a little bit different through the rainbow lens than for our straight brothers and sisters? And so that's kind of where Pride Leadership came about. And so really looking at these 6 same competencies, but through that rainbow lens. And that's really was the first real book, baby, that we created. And that's what you and I talked about the last time. And it worked out pretty well. I mean, you know, we did lots of book signings throughout the years since it came out in 2019. Got to meet a bunch of cool, like famous folks who got a hold of the book, wrote testimonials, got to give one to Mayor Pete at one point, and he was super excited. Folks. And then really, it did pretty well. Lots of press, lots of podcasts, including your own. And I was super happy with it. You know, won 2 awards. That was kind of cool. But, you know, and then did lead to the audiobook, which we were just talking about before we started the recording. And you know, that was 2020 when that came out. And I will never say never, but it was not my favorite experience because I found out to record the book and then send it to the editors to kind of do, I had to find the quietest place in my house, which of course was our walk-in closet. It was about April in Central Florida. Found out that walk-in closet does not have air conditioning, but it was just ironic that I spent about a month reading my gay leadership book in the closet, which I think is just kind of funny. So
I have to tell you, I said this to you before, I listen to the book. I consume audio like no one's business. And for when you're busy and you're on the go, audiobooks serve a great purpose. And for me, that was the thing. And I loved it. I absolutely loved it. I was like, I remember you saying your experience. I'm like, this does not come through when you're listening to it at all. That you're probably sweating in this closet trying to record this piece of work you just spent part of your life developing. Oh, it was, to then be like, why am I doing this?
Why am I sitting in the closet? And you don't see it in this photo if you're watching, but usually there's a dog bed over my head for added sound muffling. So not only was I in the closet with no air conditioning, but I had this dog, my one dog's dog bed over me. I'm like, what the heck am I doing? But it seemed to work. So there you go.
So you can get it in print and you can listen to the audio version, which I loved. Correct. I have the printed version too, but I love the audio version.
So, but getting back to the next book. So you know, Pride Leadership was great, and you know, it actually led to an online leadership development program. Right. So I wrote it as a textbook on purpose and for what's called Pride Leadership Alliance Program, a leader's immersive opportunity to nurture strengths. And that we've had several hundred queer and ally leaders go through it. And it's been really, really cool. But I bring this up because during those programs, I'd have, you know, there's a one-on-one coaching component to it. And I'd have queer and ally leaders, they're like, Steve, I have a question. And they'd ask me a question relating to something within their specific workplace. And so I started answering those questions in a couple of different areas. I would go, had a couple published in The Advocate, which is kind of like a gay news magazine, if you're not familiar. BEQ Pride, which is a business-focused LGBTQ plus magazine and organization. I'm actually an author or a writer for the Central Florida LGBTQ paper called Watermark. And so all these folks were, you know, publishing here and there once in a while. And I started just collecting those books. And that's kind of where Your Queer Career came about. And so it's basically real questions that I've gotten from real coaches and people, both queer and not so queer. And I really just go through and answer those questions. And I organize it within the same six competencies, authenticity, courage, empathy, communication, relationships, and culture, but kind of focus it in there. So it might sound like, you know, hey, dear gay leadership dude, I think my boss is homophobic. What do I do? And in 1,200 words or less, we'd say, well, if I were in your shoes, you might want to try these strategies to make the situation better. And that's kind of where Pride Leadership and Your Queer Career come into play. They're meant to be siblings, so they like each other. And if you're watching the visual, you're seeing the little, you know, handshake, which is fun. They actually love each other because they're siblings. Yay, there it is. You got one of the first copies too, and autographed.
I'm excited for it. I'm definitely reading it in the next couple of weeks because I don't have an audio version, and so I have to turn the pages of it.
But if I had to think about the two books, you know, Pride Leadership is about the theory and the tools to be a more effective queer and ally leader, where Your Queer Career is applying those to certain situations. And I think that's kind of the nuance or the difference, but how they're similar but a little bit different.
So you need the foundation and the theory and the understanding that Pride Leadership is to really be the best version of that supervisor, that mentor, that ally that comes from Your Queer Career. And those stories can help you help the people you want to help the most in understanding, because you've given them all those tools. And also, like the Lions program, I'm part of the program, which I have not completed. I'm a terrible student, but I love the foundations of how it's laid out and what it represents. And I think anyone who is listening to this, if you're employed by a company that offers you a professional development fund and you want to be a better ally or be a better leader, or if you're one of the co-leads for an ERG, an employer resource group, you can spend funds for that and immerse yourself in the program or purchase the book and do a book club. A lot of ways to do that. Probably should say that for the end, but just we're talking about it and it came out.
It's so true. And I work with a whole ton of employee resource groups, infinity groups, business resource, whatever acronym your business calls them. And that's been a lot of fun, you know, through keynotes and the Lions program and all these things. It's really given me a cool way to really understand the differences within certain workplaces and also some of the different experiences that folks are facing in this day and age. You know, and that, you know, that's why I was really excited to write Your Queer Career, because there's commonality in a lot of these situations. You know, one of the questions in there was about I am in a hybrid work situation and I just don't feel the connectedness anymore of my colleagues. I think a lot of us can embrace that. And so what are some strategies that either I can do, or if I'm a leader of a team, or I mean, everybody in my world is a leader. If you're rather an individual contributor or you have direct reports, doesn't matter. You all have influence. So what influence can I have in order to maybe change some of those situations? So yeah, I'm super excited about the world getting your career just because I'm hoping it can help.
I think it definitely will. I mean, you've done so much in the last 2 years since the last time you were on the podcast, from your LinkedIn newsletter that goes out. Is it weekly, I believe?
Right now, it's still weekly. Yeah.
Weekly. And then you have the monthly
email.
Remind me what it's called.
Comes
together, the community.
Yeah. So we also have the leader circle. Ignore the date because I was
going to go.
Yeah. The leader circle, which also came out of the Lions program, where, you know, folks would graduate and they're like, but I don't want to stop meeting queer leaders and ally leaders and awesome folks. So we started creating this free once a month thing. And what I tell employee resource groups to do is, I know, having run ERGs, you know, it's a lovely experience, but it's, you know, depending on where you sit, you have your day job and then this is your gay job, if you will. And sometimes that's hard to balance. And I know programming was always a challenge for me when I was running a couple ERGs. So I say, hey, ERG leaders, use this as free programming. Have your people go to it, you know, meet other folks. And you know, we always do it. Basically, we do a topic of the month. It's like a 10-minute Steve shares another tool or tip. And then people go into small groups and breakouts and meet each other, talk about the topic or not. I don't care. I don't monitor them. But it's a really cool way to meet other queer and ally leaders around the world, literally around the world. And that's just kind of fun to create that space for folks. And we usually have about 40-ish folks, give or take, show up each month. Some come in and out. Some are groups of ERGs who go. But it's like, hey, just we have the space. Let's see what happens.
Yeah, I loved it. I did it twice when it first came out, and then my world imploded with busyness. So then every time I registered and say I'm going to do it during my lunch hour, I'm going to make the time to go.
Yeah, it happened.
And it's on a Friday at 1 p.m. Eastern time, which is the best part. So if you have a Friday that's pretty light and you can make it to it, and it's once a month. But I found so much just out of the first two that I went, and it was just when you started doing them, because there's a level of connectedness that we often find that we don't get. And you were mentioning how when you work in a hybrid or a remote environment, you don't get that. That was part of what I was missing. I work remotely. This is my office and my house. And the same thing for you too, right? Like, so you need that. And especially with people that are like you and people who are like-minded, but also people who want to learn. But there's so much that's happened in the world in the last 4 or 5 years, pre-COVID, post-COVID, during COVID,
we are
like, okay, we want to consume information, but there's so much more to learn. And I think everything is there.
It's what I've also seen, and it's just kind of organically happened. I'm so a big believer in, like, hey, use the chat while I'm doing my spiel. That doesn't distract me whatsoever. My doctorate's in instructional technology and distance education. So I was Zooming before Zoom was a thing. So that's like, I'm so okay with that. People are throwing their LinkedIn in there, which is fantastic. I've seen people like, hey, I'm brand new at leading my employee resource group. Anyone have any questions, any suggestions? And be like, oh, reach out to me. Let's have a coffee or whatever. I'm like, perfect. And that's exactly the whole spirit of it, is for people to just get together, see how we can support one another, whether you're a queer leader or not, doesn't matter. Everyone is welcome. And it's just been really cool to watch this group. And you know, I've seen people come back and say, oh my gosh, I now have a job with XYZ company because I met them in this thing. So I'm like, cool. Wow. I didn't plan that, but hey, if that's going to happen, yeah, you never know what networking is going to do.
I love that so much. So with this book, obviously you talked about the six pillars that was the foundation that came from Pride Leadership. And how does that translate? I know you mentioned briefly before that this is kind of like putting the work in and actually doing it. But how does that translate into what the book is? What can someone who is like, okay, well, I read the first one and I definitely want to read the second one, but what should they know before they buy it, or what they can do to prepare themselves?
I think the important thing is going into reading. So the way it's organized, you know, again, it's in those the six competencies that are talked about in detail in Pride Leadership. So it's, you know, there's a chapter on questions around authenticity, and there's usually four questions. And then there's something at the beginning. It's kind of like put frames up. Well, what the heck is authenticity if you didn't read Pride Leadership? And actually goes into a different, slightly different direction. So it's, you know, if you did read Pride Leadership, you get some more stuff, which is kind of cool. But, you know, then that answers the four questions around authenticity. But what I think two things I would, I guess, caution, I don't know if that's the right word before you go into it.
No. Is,
here's like FYI, I guess. You know, yes, there's four questions around authenticity. I guarantee all four could have fit somewhere else. You know, because the six competencies that I identify in both books and all the other stuff, they are so gorgeously interconnected, you really can't separate them. You can't be authentic as your true self in the workplace without being courageous. I can't change a workplace culture without building relationships, et cetera, et cetera. So, you know, even though there's some that are in, you know, the courage chapter, they could have easily been somewhere else. And so I think that's the first thing is keep that in mind as you go through the reading the questions. And the other thing too is, and these are actually, there's some kind of reflective questions at the end of each chapter, just because I'm a nerd and I'm an academic and I have to at least have you do some thinking to apply to your own world. But, you know, like each one says, hey, you know, so-and-so had this situation. How have you related to that? Or have you found yourself into the same thing? Just to kind of get you thinking about applying some of the concepts and strategies in your career to your respective workplace situation.
I love that. And that's so insightful because I think it provides an opportunity for reflection and understanding of what you just consumed as far as content goes. But it kind of bridges the next step. So you're constantly thinking, oh, there's questions coming. I have to know how I'm going to answer these questions for myself. But then if you're someone who's doing this because you are a leader and you're trying to, you know, be a better leader or a better manager or a better supervisor for your team, or you're trying to become a better ally, this is so helpful in that awareness of removing any biases or any stigmas or any things that are really preventing you from understanding the community you're trying to serve and support.
Yeah, it's so spot on. And I think that's the other thing too, that I'm hoping people get out of this. I mean, yes, it's called Your Queer Career, but just like Pride Leadership, I had so many allies say, I totally get it. I mean, you know, all the things you talk about. Matter of fact, my first editor of Pride Leadership, I was sitting in a coffee shop in Orlando, and I was waiting for her call because she was the first human in the universe besides myself to read it. And I was like, oh, so nervous. And she calls me and I answer the phone. Her name's Heather. And Heather, the editor, which is kind of hard to say. But I'm like, Heather, what's your perspective? And she's like, okay, Steve, I am a white cisgendered straight woman. I'm not, you know, who I think is your initial target market. I'm like, yes. She's like, this is the book I wanted in my MBA class when we talked about leadership. I'm like, what? She's like, I mean, they made fun of me how long my bibliography is for Pride Leadership. Because I mean, I didn't invent leadership. There's amazing people out there and I cite them on purpose because they did cool stuff. But she's like, but... I'm trying to think where I was.
So you were talking about Heather, the editor, and she was that this was the book that she was looking for her MBA.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'll start there. So, you know, she said, this is the book I was looking for my MBA. It's solid leadership theory, you know, lots of cited references, you know, big bibliography, but it had a bunch of dad jokes and it was kind of funny. I'm like, okay, well, that's good. So it worked out pretty well. But I think, and along the same lines, I think for Your Career, I'm hoping folks don't see it and like, oh, that's just for gay folks. I'm not going to enjoy it. Because I absolutely think people can easily find themselves in many, many, many of the situations and apply those to their workplace, regardless of their demographics.
Yeah. And you were saying something about how, and you made this reference earlier about how you were teaching at one point, but I feel like that doesn't go away.
No.
And I think everything you do is teaching, even in your consulting business. Have you ever thought about what this framework could be if you put it together in a nice little package and you presented it to universities and institutions across the country that we talk about how we've seen legislature specifically in Florida yeah. removing so much of the history and the things that we've tried to fight for and build for the last 60 plus years? And so much of our country is so divided on what LGBTQ AI plus looks like. Like, how do you feel about it? I mean, there's so much to uncover what I said that the questions can't come out of my mouth quick enough, but I don't want to throw all the questions and not let you answer.
No.
What is your thoughts about just that one part? And we'll go from there.
So I don't know if you saw this, but I'm actually a banned author. Specifically with Pride Leadership, it is actually in a record in federal Congress that I am a banned author. Not totally, but the U.S. Department of Agriculture submitted their budget. And I'm not even going to acknowledge her name, but she's a congressperson from Colorado. And she put an amendment that said, okay, great. So I'm going to approve the spending money for the USDA, but these are the cited resources that are not permitted to be used with this money. And mine was number 11, Pride Leadership.
Are you fucking serious?
I know. It's crazy. And I was really...
That blows my mind, number one. Number two, is that like a compliment considering how ridiculous people are today about like... A book isn't, it's paper with words on it threatening your life in your own personal way. Like, what are you so offended about? What are you so scared of?
But, because we're making queer people better leaders. Oh my goodness.
How dare we?
Clutch pearls. Yeah. So that was kind of, and at first I was pretty upset when because a friend of mine texted me. She's like, oh, congratulations. You made the LGBTQ national, online newspaper. I'm like, what? And she sent me the link and I'm like, holy cow. So I remember my husband was home working from his office and I went in and I was upset. And he's like, oh no. This is awesome. Call your publisher right now. So I called Jen and she's like, oh, we're doing a press release.
I hope you had a press release for that. Totally guys. Did.
Yeah. So anyway,
I wish there was an emoji that could come out right now, but just because of the celebration of that.
So to answer your question, for every one of those types of idiots that are out there that are trying to make our world not so inclusive, I find like 20 more folks who are just like, oh my gosh, thank you for your book. It completely made me look at the work where I'm at. I've had many people read Pride Leadership and reach out to me and say, thank you, because of your book, I realized that the place I was at was not the best fit for me and I left. And now I'm not saying, I don't advocate for that and say you get to the, shaping culture chapter and you're just like, oh, my culture stinks. I'm out of here, but if having that self-awareness, it's better to know now than, 20 years down the road when you've invested so much and you're like, oh crap, I don't want to go anywhere else because I've already invested the time and energy here, even though it sucks.
Well, and I think to that point, everything in your career takes courage and it takes being someplace where you can be your authentic self is hard, period. Yet alone when you're gay or you're part of the LGBTQ community, it doesn't matter which one of them you are. And then you add the layers of society to that, you're going to feel like if you're trying to come out of the closet, you're never going to come out.
Yeah.
And if you're not in the closet, you're going to want to put yourself back in just because of the job you do, because of the constant, pressures of like, is someone going to find out? Am I going to get fired because I am? Or like, it happens still, which is crazy. Yeah.
And it's what the latest statistic, and I re-researched it from Pride Leadership to Your Queer Career, and depending on the source, because there's a couple out there that have looked at this, but for the most part, and I'll just use the middle, it's about 50% of queer folks are not out at work in the U.S. It's still that high.
That's insane.
And until the Equality Act is passed, which would then solidify that you can't get fired for being part of the LGBTQ plus community, and right now it's being interpreted through Title IX. So that's for now. That could go away. So, for some people, and I initially would be like, oh, come on, be your authentic self. It's a big thing for leadership. It'd be awesome. But now I have to respect some people just aren't feel safe to do that. And I got to respect that.
Yeah. I mean, it. First of all, that number astounds me. My heart breaks to even hear that was the case. I'm not going to share the story, but I had a situation where I was not out at work. And I didn't leave the job because of that, but I definitely made a lot of people uncomfortable. Mm. And I feel like the people who I stayed and connected with are like, you were amazing. You did a lot of good. But I'm like, that could have been helpful before I left. I left for just because the opportunity was there to grow my career, my queer career particularly. But it breaks my heart to hear that. And that number is insane.
Yeah.
You said something that I think is really important that I'm not sure everyone either knows. Can you say again how people can still lose their job and it's still legal for people to get fired if you're gay?
Yeah. I mean, I live in Florida. It's a right to work state. As long as it's not under the protected class, which again, because of Title IX is a little squishy, we're still not sure. Well, that's what the Supreme Court case is at least ruled for now, that no, you can't be fired for being gay. However, if you're in a right to work state, proving that is very challenging. I know I have been fired a couple times over in my career, and that's fine. But I remember going to, and I was at this one company, I won't mention who, but you probably figure out my LinkedIn. And I was there for 2 years. Just shy of 2 years. And I won this glass award, HR executive of the year, literally sitting on the other side of my desk because I laugh at it now when I see it. 2 weeks after I won that, my boss pulls me into the office and says, hey, I just want to talk to you. I'm like, okay, sure. We work in global HR. That's not a big deal. There was another HR person there as well. Didn't think anything of it because again, we're in global HR. That's our department. He's like, yeah, this just isn't working out. We're letting you go. I'm like, what? and he starts crying. So now I'm clued in. I'm like, okay, this came from somewhere else. But again, yeah. Florida is a right to work state. That was it. That's all I had. So they gave me this massive. They offered me this massive severance package. I'm like, okay. I said I need to think about this. So I went to a lawyer, and I gave him the thing. He's like, how long were you there? I'm like, just shy of 2 years. He's like, what do you know? I'm like, what? He goes, this is hush money and it comes with a lot of strings. He's like, I would recommend you not sign this. And I didn't. And, to this day, it's really, when you get yourself in those situations, talk about your career, you realize how resilient you can be. I mean, just reflect on everybody listening or watching. What happened during COVID? What did you do to bounce back or just even survive? And that's fine. And I think we all have that in us. And we're put through those situations that we kind of can really reflect on the skills, abilities, and I'll say here in the South, gumption that you have. but if you're an underrepresented minority, you just add an extra layer on top of that, and you might have to add to that extra resilience, unfortunately, just because of the way things are.
Yeah. And I think that brings up a really good point, because sometimes we were talking about, each of the pillars and what they represent, but also we as humans, it can take us a little bit to get to those points where we're really comfortable and we do have the ability to be courageous for ourselves, to really put ourselves in those situations. I think this is just a beautiful body of work, and I can't wait to dig into it more to really get deeper into the lessons of who you're talking to and who the audience is. And I feel like anyone who reads it, whether you're part of the queer community or not, you're going to learn something for sure.
I hope so.
There were two other points. One, we were talking about, like, what does this mean for like education? I feel like there's a unique opportunity where I'm going to include it in my syllabus. I actually teach a career development toolkit course as a certificate program.
Nice.
So I will definitely include it as a alternative or suggested reading. And I'll look for references of what I can find that can include it as part of our week 6 module that talks about D&I.
Nice.
But do you feel like this is something you would consider, framing into some sort of educational course outside of what Pride Leadership does with the Lions program?
Yeah, the academic in me really could see this. You know, I'm thinking through what's my rubric and my syllabi going to be. Yeah, I could totally see that.
It's
in my head. But what I think is really interesting though is you're seeing an appetite for this type of very hyper focused leadership development. Stanford has a queer executive program. I think I just saw Harvard launched one this year as well. And so, you know, and you also have, you know, leadership focus for people of color and for women and for veterans. And I remember somebody asked me, they're like, well, why do I have to focus on queer leadership? I said, because there are nuances to all underrepresented minorities and how we approach things differently. And there is some of that commonality and some of that challenge that's universal to us. And just having that safe space to talk about my queer career experience and how that works to helping or maybe sometimes hindering my own leadership success, I think is super important. So I absolutely could see it being part of a broader curriculum. I've had some conversations with folks like Reaching Out MBA and out on campus as well, just to kind of see if there's any opportunities, and we'll wait and see where that lands.
Well, I think there is. Everything we've talked about today, just the idea started flowing up. I was like, oh, I can't wait to talk about this with you. I can't wait to talk about that. So I think there's a lot of opportunity there. The other thing I wanted to bring up was there's a generation that call it alpha. There are millennials who probably are not out. I hope that if you are a millennial, that at this point in your life, you've had in someone that can be your partner in crime that can make you feel better about being out, because there's nothing worse to be this age or in this age group and feeling like I'm going to be in the closet forever. But I would say for Gen Z or Generation Alpha that may be watching or listening to this, I love the fact that this is in video format. What would you say this book could be for them? Because I feel like in just the 30 minutes that we've been talking about this, there's a lot here that someone can go back and forth between pride leadership and your career and learn so much about as they enter their workforce, how to prepare themselves to be their best authentic self.
If I could go back to, you know, 20 something Steve, who's just entering the workforce, I would have said to him, as you go through development, focus on these six. And you're going to, you know, if you're just entering your career, you're somewhere in there, you're probably exposed to internal, external leadership programs, and they have a lot of different philosophies. Fine. You know, they all have their value. I absolutely believe that. But think through the lens of these six. Absolutely. In my 30-ish years of doing this stuff, these are the ones that make or break leadership success. Again, authenticity, courage, empathy, communication, relationship, and culture. And if you can just master a couple of those, or just focus your energy or anything that you do to develop yourself in your career, make sure it touches one of these six. Sometimes, again, it could probably be a couple. And just focus your energy there. I think you will absolutely shine as a leader wherever you're at. You know, and you probably hear like, oh, I'm an effective communicators leader. Of course, that is one of many. But what can you do? And then, of course, you know, wrap this around, how do you be a more inclusive leader in general? Well, you do these six. And if you want to be a good ally for any group, you do these six. And so that's the thing that I'm loving between the two book babies, if you will, is they tie together so well that at the end of the day, you'll be a more effective leader and you'll be a more inclusive leader if you follow kind of the rules here, if you will.
Yeah, love that so much. I want to say thank you. I feel like every conversation I have with you, whether it's with the mic on or mic off, or the mic is always on, but whether it's on mute for recording or not, I learned something from it. I really appreciate your guidance and wisdom as a person, as a human, as a friend. And I hope that a lot of people who are watching this or listening to this can take something away. If you're watching this, we have a QR code on the screen that you can scan to get the book. If you're listening to this, we'll have this linked out for you in the show notes. Anything else you want to share, Steve? Where can people find you? What can people do to connect with you? How should they connect with you? What do you want people to
do? Follow me on, I'm on pretty active on Instagram, Facebook, and of course, LinkedIn. You can go to topdoglearning.biz, B-I-Z, which you can find all of our books, all of our online courses. You can get a hold of me that way. So topdoglearning.biz.
And that's to find you on the web, and then to find you on Instagram and on I mean, you have a Facebook, but I'm not sure if that's your personal Facebook or is that.
I have a personal and I have a business one, the Gay Leadership Dude. If you go to topdoglearning.biz, you'll see at the bottom there's links to all of our socials that you can kind of hang out there. And if you're looking for programming or keynoting or just want to like say hi, reach out and we'll see how we can help you. And also, don't forget the Leader Circle, which is open to anybody. And once a month, if you go to topdog.click/PLLC for Pride Leadership Leader Circle. That's the exact same landing page every month. We just change it on out. So you can register for free there. topdog.click/PLLC.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Steve, as always. This has been a pleasure. And I'm so excited for the world to listen to this.
Thank you so much. And thank you for doing and creating the space that you do.
Hey, that's what I'm here for. Hey, Chit Chatter. Thank you so much for being a part of the show. If you found value in today's episode, be sure to share it with the world. We welcome everyone for listening. And if you'd like, please go on over to Apple Podcasts and leave us a review. Those reviews mean everything to me and they help the show grow, as well as for me to know what topics you want to hear from next. Be sure to go visit to coachingwithjosemiguel.com or Coaching for Millennials for more up-to-date content, newsletters, blogs, information about coaching for life and career. Thank you so much for being a part of our magical world and for being part of this program. I can't wait to the next episode.